Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, guys?
We're
back in the house on the couch. Mm-hmm. Hey, just so you know, when I don't have a house anymore, we are going to be moving the podcast into the van. The van cast.
Oh, that's funny. I feel like in this weather, it's going to be really hot in there.
Yeah, we're going to need to park in the shade.
So really cool thing. I came over today and Brooke goes, I have a surprise for you.
I did.
And I go, what? She goes, okay, you have to walk into the garage. And then she has something behind her back. And she's so funny because anytime she has, you know, a surprise or she's excited, she just has this like shit eating grin on. And I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? We walk in and there's just a piece of plywood sitting on the floor. And I go, what? You got me a piece of wood? Piece of plywood. And I turn around and she pulls from behind her back two pairs of tap shoes. She's had these tap shoes since she was in dance class. Like, I think you said the last time you danced was you were 17.
Yeah.
I was 15 last time I did tap dancing. It was actually fun. So we actually did a little workout.
And we were sweating.
That's what it made me think of, sweating in the van.
I was really sweating.
Yeah.
You guys, we're going to have a guest on the show today.
Oh, welcome to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina, by the way.
Welcome to
In case you didn't know where you were.
We are here.
Don't sing.
They're like, you are tone deaf. Stick to the tap dancing.
I know. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
We are having Brian Beckstead. Mm-hmm. He is the co-founder of Ultra Running. If you guys have seen on either my videos or my Instagram, some people have like started to notice like what shoes I was wearing, what shoes I was training in, and they're Ultra Running shoes, and they make trainers, cross training shoes. Is that the proper term?
I don't know because I don't have any cross trainers.
They make shoes.
Oh, so yeah, like a cross trainer so you can work out and run and
make like really
so they're
good,
not just a running shoe.
Yeah. When I like was introduced to the company Ultra, ALTRA, my brother-in-law is a big runner. Big runner. And I was in Salt Lake. I was there for a training camp. It was in 2017 after my surgery. Yeah. So in like the winter time,
okay.
I was back to running and I didn't have good running shoes. I needed new ones, but I hadn't got any. And I just ran to a store in Salt Lake. Ultra is a shoe company that started in Utah. And my brother-in-law always wore Ultras and he is like a marathon runner. So I wanted a shoe that would like, my feet are really temperamental. I wanted something that would be comfortable. And I was about to do this running test, like a VO2 max test. I was going to be on the track for a long time. And I tried on some different shoes. I got a pair of Ultras, did the test. They were super comfortable. They were brand new. I didn't get one blister. They didn't need to be broken. They were really great. And I've worn those ever since. I've like continued to wear Ultra running shoes. And then just this last year, they actually sent me some of their other styled shoes. So I have some trail running shoes, which are really cool. And like trainers that have more of a solid sole. I like them a lot. I love that they are tapered through my midsole. Like my foot is like fairly wide in the front, but I have a really skinny like heel area. And I need a shoe that is shaped like a foot. You know, obviously some some styles or, you know, companies are a little bit more narrow or they're like really, really wide. And after I left Noble, I was like, that's it. I got to like just try on a bunch of shoes and I actually find a pair that feels good on my foot. And I liked them a lot. They were really solid. They had great arch support. They were nice and just wide enough that when I'm lifting and your feet kind of like spread out in your shoes, you had room for that while also still being nice and tapered through my arch. And I felt like I was really supported. Nice heel cup. It was great shoes. And
just like your hand gestures just, look just a little bit naughty as you're doing
cupping the balls.
As you're doing it.
Cupping the balls. And this. But yeah, they've been a really wonderful company. They have sent me some shoes to keep trying, which is really cool. And
have you liked all of them?
They've sent me some different running shoes that only, there's actually a pair that I enjoy because they look nice. So if I'm like doing video or something, they're these white ones. I can't remember exactly what they're called, but they're for me, those ones for me, because I have a high instep, they're a little bit too tight across the top of my foot.
Right.
So like that.
Oh, that, so it, yeah. So you get, it's tight
like
right
on that
here.
Nerve.
Yeah.
And so
on top
I don't.
Of the bone.
Yeah. I'm like, what if I'm, if I'm out running, it tends to start to ache or hurt. So,
yeah. But that's what's cool about
they have different
companies
kinds.
To have different kinds for every foot because every foot is not alike, guys.
Yeah. One of these are not like the other. But yeah, so we're going to have Brian on. We're going to talk about, I really want to know, one, he,
you have some deep questions.
One, we're going to hear, we want to introduce him to you. We want to learn his backstory, how he even got into like,
yeah, how
making
do you get
shoes
into that?
And like starting this company, because we all know it's tough to like start a company from the beginning and especially in
from
anything
like
with like
up.
Shoes or clothes, that industry is changing so much and it's so cutthroat. Like, how are you still around? Like, what are things he's learned? You know, we're going to ask him, what have you learned that has, you know, helped you keep growing? Because when I heard about the company, it was a small company.
Very cool.
And then I also really, really want to know, I'm going to ask this to him, but when companies come out, they have a shoe. We're going to talk about, you know, the Nano. We've got Nano 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I just want to know how, when they go through a process of like updating a shoe or launching a new one, how much have they actually changed on it besides the, like
the number,
just like the look, the number, or the color?
These are the deep questions we are asking right now, guys.
You know, or is
people want to know,
or is there more, I guess, science behind like the mechanics
have they
of
actually,
your foot that they've actually been working and finding new ways to, you know, support the foot better? I don't know. Like, I just would like to know that. And either way, I don't really care. I'm still going to buy a new shoe because it's new and it's, you know, better colors and design. Obviously, we want our shoes to look good.
Well, yeah.
But I'm just interested, just myself, of knowing, like, are you actually...
Is it bullshit?
Is the updated version, is that just... It's like,
is it a better shoe?
Is it
or
like
does it
the,
look better?
Is it like when you have the new iPhone?
Right.
Or the old
does it
one?
Have, yeah. Does it have more options? Or does it just look sexy?
You know? Does it have a better camera? It has multiple lenses?
Right.
Does it shoot wide? Slow-mo?
I have the old iPhone. Don't look at me. You always have the cool one.
No, they already have a new one coming out. I don't have that.
Oh, well, not now, but you will. Although you have had some shitty phones.
I've had some bad ones.
You've had some shitty phones. I think for a good, I feel like it was a straight year that you... Every time you were on your phone, it was like cracked. And then every time you're on your phone, like, my phone doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
I'm like, get a new phone.
You know what it is? I have Sprint. That also is why it sucks. If you're out there and you're like, I have Sprint too, and it does suck, then hi, Air 5. Yeah. You know, and you know why I stay on it? Because
you have that grandfathered plan.
Just grandfathered in family plan.
Yeah.
You know, and every time I'm pissed that I don't have service when I definitely should have service, I'm like, well, at
not
least
paying
my,
that
at
much.
At least my bill's really cheap and I have unlimited everything. Thank you, Mommy.
Thank you, Mommy.
Thank you, Mom. All right, guys, we're about to call Brian. And I was leaning really close to my computer. And you know when you open your phone and it's on front-facing camera? Yeah. That's basically what I did to myself. And
we both did. The screen came on. We went, whoa.
We were leaning forward. And
it was scary.
It was pretty scary. All right. Brian Beckstead. Gonna learn about shoes.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hey.
Oh, shoot.
Maggie got scared.
Where lost my headphones.
Yeah. No, we can hear you.
All right.
What's up? How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little flustered after, you know, not getting my Skype correct, but I'm doing really
good.
Don't
be flustered.
Don't be.
This is the perfect podcast for anything to go wrong because we are very relaxed.
Yeah, we don't care.
Cool.
It's like my everyday life.
Yeah, great.
Oh, this isn't working. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's like usually it's, hey, what are we? Honestly, just by having you on as a guest, we're killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually Gina shows up to the house and we're like, hey, What are we talking about? Like, oh no, what's happening in the world?
I know. Well, yeah.
Well, we've been talking about having you on for a while. I was super excited, not only because I've been wearing your guys' shoes for a while, before I was even in communication with you guys. And
she's a big fan.
Yeah. My brother-in-law is a big, big runner. And that's how actually I got introduced to Ultras, because I was in Salt Lake. I needed new running shoes. And I went to the running company on, it's right by that grocery store up on Foothill Drive. What's it called?
Salt Lake Running Company.
Yes. I went there and I tried to.
Wasatch?
May have been Wasatch. I've been to Salt Lake Running Company too, though, for different part of town. But up on Foothill, I think I went to Wasatch, got a pair of shoes. And I wore them out, those running shoes. Did you guys. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I'm saying you've got plenty of Ultras now, right? You got access to them. You know what you like.
So many. And I think it's so funny, too, because I wear them and everyone's like, what shoes are those?
Yeah, what are those?
What are those? But did you guys only start with running shoes?
That was the focus. Yep. So we launched with one shoe in 2011. It was just kind of a running shoe, but it was kind of an all-purpose. And then we launched with a trail running shoe shortly thereafter. So
How do you get into that?
Simple.
Yeah. How did you?
Yeah. How do you just go? How do you get into that? Like I'm gonna make a shoe.
You know. How much time do we have? You want the 5-minute version or the 15-minute version?
I mean, we got an hour. So, you know.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'll kind of do a medium version here, but, you know, Ultra is kind of it had a lot of foundational things that happened for us to start a shoe company, especially three guys in the basement in our 20s, right? There's a lot of kind of background that went into that.
Yeah. I love these kinds of stories. These really are like the best. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I said I love these kinds of stories.
Okay, so here we go.
There's a delay.
We're a bunch of dudes from Orem, Utah, and it really started with a guy named Hawk Harper who blew his knee out playing college football in the 70s, and he was told he was never going to run again, and he found that he could run if he ran with a particular type of biomechanics. Right. So now we call it running form biomechanics. But back in the 70s and 80s, it wasn't much of a topic. But he kind of developed his own running style that he could run virtually pain free on his knee, despite being bone on bone. And that was something that became a part of his life. Well, his son and I started Ultra along with Jeremy Howlett. And so I met Golden on the first day of high school. And so Golden, I'll tell you a little bit about Golden, but we became these, you know, super track and cross country nerds in high school, became very competitive, and Hawk had opened up a running store. And so Golden and I started working at that running store at a fairly young age, and all these shoes, we became shoe nerds, right? We were selling all of these shoes to customers. And we found, especially particularly as we ended up in college and started doing research and looking for projects, well, we had this unlimited amount of shoes and we were running dorks. And so we started doing experiments with shoes and on shoes, particularly Golden, had this idea that as we were running with our mechanics, we felt that a lot of the big, heavy, clunky shoes actually encouraged poor biomechanics. Right? Hawk was teaching us the right way to run, but these shoes were forcing us to run in ways that we were trying to avoid. And so that's when Golden decided, this is the crux here, to put a pair of shoes in a toaster oven and heat it up and then take a butter knife and cut off the elevated heel of the shoe.
That's awesome.
That's the funny. Start.
And so he calls me up. He's like, Brian, I just cut off this heel. And he started describing it to me. And I was like, this is crazy. And one thing led to another. And we started out hacking up all of our shoes. And it got to the point where a couple of our friends, we recommend it to a couple friends who then recommended it to a couple people. And all of a sudden, people were bombarding us with requests for our shoe modifications.
You just have a toaster oven set up with like a butter.
Bring whatever shoes
people
you
in
like
line, just
and I'll modify them.
I'm not joking. This happened. And so we found a shoemaker across the street from the running store who would bandsaw it with a bandsaw and then belt sand the heel down so that the shoes were then flat. And that was the whole goal, is we're like, okay, if nature wanted us with an elevated heel, why weren't we born that way? And all of a sudden, when we were doing this, these flat shoes, our mechanics became so much better and we weren't heel striking as much. It was fixing rolled ankles. It was fixing shin splints. It was just helping all these things. And so we needed a term for it. And since we were taking out the drop of the shoe, we called it zero drop. And so that's, if you hear that in the industry, that's our terminology that we came up with to describe the way we were hacking up our shoes.
Hell yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And then since it was working for us and it was working for friends, and word started getting out, and we hacked up and were selling. So we would sell brand new pairs of shoes to customers.
Yeah.
And send them across the street and say, for $20 extra, this gentleman over here will professionally hack up your shoe.
Saw your heel off. That's brilliant.
It sounds crazy. And yeah, people did it. And then it worked for them. And then they told their friends. And all of a sudden, it spiraled. It was wild. And so as working retail, we were just retailers, right? So we started essentially petitioning the running shoe companies to build our shoe for us.
Oh, okay.
He said, okay, we lace our shoes in a way. So we would, you know, the toe box of a shoe, that all the crisscrosses of the laces. Well, what we used to do is wide lace those so your toes could splay. And so we started petitioning the shoe companies to make shoes roomier in the toes and to make them flat or zero drop. And we literally gave them our ideas for free. And they did nothing. They
were really?
A couple brands actually laughed at us. They were like, you guys are crazy. What do you guys know? And so that's when Jeremy Howlett, the third founder of Altra, came in and said, why don't we start a shoe company on this? And it just, all of a sudden, it just started brainstorming and we started reaching out. We found this advanced prototype company up in Portland, Oregon, that essentially would just, could help you design and build it. And they were used by all sorts of brands. Merrill would use them, Saucony, and all these other brands. They would say, hey, I don't have any designers. Let's subcontract this out. So we got in touch with these people, and they started saying, here's what it would cost. And all of a sudden, we started looking for funding. And one thing led to another, and we are 11 years into this. That was 11 years ago.
That is crazy.
And yeah, it took us 2 years to get to market. So we launched in April of 2011. And it's with one shoe and one color. And now we've expanded into 55 countries. We are doing very large revenue and become a major player in primarily the running industry. Mm-hmm. But as Brooke, you know, we've started making more gym shoes and, mm-hmm. That are a little bit better for lifting weights and CrossFit and gym use. But really, we think that those principles of zero drop and foot shaped apply to so much in athletic performance. And that's really what we believe in.
Wow.
Where did the name Ultra come from?
Well, first of all, we figured we needed all the help we could get. And so we wanted an A name so it would be top on the list.
Smart.
Alphabetical order. So yeah. That was, you know, some of a simple trick. And then we really started writing down some of our inspirations. And, you know, I'm an ultra runner, so I've run over 50 ultra marathons.
Damn.
And, I love, you know, we love that distance running. To me.
Sorry, I said that sounds miserable.
Alta Ski Resort. We loved Alta.
Yeah.
What was that?
I said, sorry, that just sounds miserable to me. I'm not a runner. Maybe I need a pair of your shoes and I can run better.
She's not a runner.
let's face it, all of us ultra runners, right, we're walking a lot of it. We walk most of it. So
oh, okay, well, that's good to know. That makes me feel better.
Almost glorified hiking.
Okay.
You could do that.
I don't know. All right, so sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so we started writing down all these different words that inspired us that we liked. And I think the crux of it was when we found a word named Altera. And it's a Latin word. And it means to change or to fix. And I think that sums up Altera more than anything. We feel like the industry, the running industry, was broken. And we felt that we were fixing broken runners and, you know, people who are having all these chronic injuries. And yet the shoe industry wasn't changing. Shoes were the same. All it was people were, the geometry was identical. They were arguing, well, my air is better than your wave. My wave is better than your gel, and my gel is better than your whatever.
Right. Brooke has a question for you.
We're like, yes, please.
Just on that, because like before we got started,
been talking about this.
This is the question that I want to ask, and it's this, and it's exactly what you kind of were saying, which is how much, like when companies come out, you're like there's Nano 10 is what we're on, you know, they come out with like the new shoe. I just wonder. I'm like, how much of that
is different than the 9876543211.
All the other ones besides like the color or like maybe a little bit of like the design on the outside. Is it normal for companies that are dropping new shoes that they've actually changed any sort of technology or like mechanics or like what in fact helps?
Like, are they doing research to make sure? Yeah, to see how they can run better.
You know, perform
better.
Clearly not, because they wouldn't cut the shoe in half and wouldn't. You know, change
the zero
lacing.
Drop.
They wouldn't change the lacing. They had free information and they didn't take it.
I know. And they had the opportunity and they didn't. Well, I will tell you this much. In the last, I think Ultra, we're really proud to have been a part of that change and that questioning of the running industry. And I think now there's brands like On and brands like Hoka and obviously Ultra. Really being at the forefront of saying, you stupid running industry, you haven't changed anything for years. And so I think right now we are in such a better place because of some of us are these disruptive brands than we were 10 years ago. So yes, there are changes. There's a lot of welding technologies and midsole foam compounds and things like that. But a lot of brands are just really, really lazy with their updates. And so sometimes there's big changes and sometimes they're just, it's a new color. That's a new little design, a new strap. And so as Ultra, we're always about disrupting. We always want to change and just disrupt and always improve. And I think the industry is doing a better job of that now than they were 10 years ago, for sure.
And I guess it would make sense that some of the newer, smaller companies or whatever would be doing that. Would be wanting to find an edge and wanting to make things better. And it seems, I mean, I am making an assumption, but some of those like bigger companies that are, you know, are really big and, you know, they're giants in the industry, it'd be really easy to like, why put time into that when we already are doing, you know, you don't necessarily need to. But if
right.
they don't,
you know, you're going to sell your shoes.
But
so
they're going to have to, because people that are, in being innovative and and working on it and changing things are gonna swipe some customers. You guys swipe me.
We've swiped a lot of customers. We love swiping customers. But we always joke, some of those big companies, we actually joke that they're marketing companies. They're not
right.
product companies.
Oh yeah, right.
They're marketing
companies. That's what I was wondering. Joke
is, yeah. Is that, you know, they'll wait till we innovate and then they'll just rip us off and market
for sure.
Dollars and stuff like that.
Right. For sure. That makes a lot of sense.
Was there any time during this whole journey that you ever thought, this isn't going to work?
Yeah.
You know, to be honest.
Or that you were just tired.
Good. Good.
I'm totally serious. Yeah. I never doubted it.
Okay.
It was this weird thing. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I quit my job. When I quit my job, I had a 6-month-old baby, no income. We got desperate 6 months later and I mortgaged my dad's house and he basically said, this is your inheritance. So if you lose this, you'll get nothing when I die. Like we sacrificed everything. And maybe it was the concept that we believed in. And maybe it was because of those sacrifices that made us believe more. But I just thought that the industry was corrupt and broken and I was going to fix it, you know, and we were going to fix it. Mm-hmm. And we never doubted. We didn't. Sincerely, we never doubted it.
Oh, that's cool. Dude, I think I would definitely be like, oh shit. It's going to happen.
Such an awesome story too. Like just hearing about how you guys literally were just being innovative with other brands to be like, how can I make this better? Oh yeah, let's just cut it in half.
I like and you they actually put it have, in the toaster
you have,
oven.
You have people coming up being like, can I get the modification? Can I get the, it's like a secret menu. Hey, can I get the modifications?
No, and that's totally what happened. People were like, you know, hey, can we get those zero drop shoes? We're like, well, there's no brand that makes a zero drop shoe. And people are like, we know you have, you know,
we know you got the stuff
in the back room. And,
yeah.
And so, yeah, it was fun. It was cool. It was really cool.
So I guess give us like a little lineup of what shoes you guys kind of have or category of shoes that you have right now.
Yep. So road running's our main category. It's our largest category. And, you know, the flagship shoes on that are the Escalante.
I love that shoe. That was the first shoe I got. That's the first shoe I bought from Ultra was the Escalante. Yeah. It just felt
so
comfortable.
Good. It works, but at the same time, like it looks trendy. It's super comfortable. It's great. And then you've got the Torin. The Torin's a bit more of like that high mileage, a little bit more of a traditional running shoe in terms of, you know, that marathon runner. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the flagship of our road line. And fastest growing, you know, I mean, we are growing so fast in that category. Where we've historically done very well is trail running.
Yeah, I have a pair of your trail runners that you guys, I'm pretty sure. I have a lot of shoes. You guys have definitely allowed me to try some different things, which is, I thank you so much for letting me do that.
No, it's our pleasure. We love getting people in the shoes and it's now, obviously when they work, right? I mean,
yeah.
You keep wanting them because they work. But the trail category is great for us. We've been very strong in that category. It's a much smaller market than the road market. So we dominate in the trail market, but we actually sell more road shoes than trail shoes. It's just that trail running 7% of the industry and road running is 90% of the industry. And so, but we own 20% of the trail running industry in America right now.
Wow.
Our flagship shoe is called the Lone Peak. And it's awesome for all trail. We just crank. It's awesome.
Do you want some of those?
She's like, you're putting me on the spot because I'm not going to say, of course I wouldn't want those. I'm saying that I will not run.
No, but he said for hiking.
Okay.
Hiking.
Okay.
Hiking, outdoor use.
Yeah. I'm not that outdoorsy either.
Oh. You're going to have to be because I'm about to live in a van.
Do you have any, do you make slippers? Just kidding.
The Escalante. Escalante is the slipper, man. It's so comfortable.
Okay. Yeah. That's the one I'll try.
We started making some gym shoes because we felt that concept works so well with, you know, lifting and gym use and CrossFit and just all of that. So we started with a shoe called the HIT. The high intensity interval trainer.
Those are the ones I have.
Oh,
the black and white ones and then the blue and white ones.
Yep. And then we made another one called the Solstice.
Yeah.
And both of them were good. but we felt like, man, we should combine the two of them. And so we combined the Hit and the Solstice. And so we now have the Solstice XT, which has been just massive for us. It's been our, it's our best gym shoe, and we launched it over the winter, and it's been cranking the last 6 months.
I think
you have a pair, right?
I think I have a pair of those pink ones, right?
Pink ones. No, kind of... that's the Solstice. We might need to get you the Solstice XT. It's like the cross between the Solstice and the Hit. It like combined the two.
Wait, are they the white ones?
They're all white. Yeah, we have an all white and all black, and then we have like a blue and pink.
I was gonna say, which are the ones that you wear all the time? We're like looking by her door, where all of her shoes are.
I have in my laundry room. I have like, I think, two pairs of Ultras. I have them in my closet, and then I have extra ones in my other closet. So I think I do have those ones.
They're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
They're really good. So that's kind of our flagship gym shoe right now. And then we also do a few casual shoes. And I think kind of the thought process is, if you're only using Ultras for running, what are you wearing the rest of the day?
Yeah.
And I bet it's not flat, and I bet it's not foot shaped. So
I will say, I think what I like a lot, well, we did like an intro before we called you, and I have like temperamental feet. I danced all growing up. I danced at the University of Utah, and I like loved the old Nanos. Like Nano 2s were probably my favorite, and it's just because it had a really good foot shape. There wasn't, you know, there wasn't a bunch of weird extra rubber fabric on the outside. They breathe really well, and they're pretty straightforward, and they were kind of like flat, like no drop, right? And I had started trying a lot of shoes, and I was working with Noble for a long time. Those shoes do not fit my foot well, because I do have like a really narrow arch, and like I have
heel
and heel. And for those, it was very much like I felt like there was no heel cup. There wasn't good arch support. I wanted it to be no drop, but there was no arch support. And then also it was just a big oval shape. So I felt like my foot had so much movement in the shoe. And then I'd have to crank down. I'd have to cinch them up so tight. And even then there'd still be movement, but there'd be so much pressure on the top of my foot that it would like rub on my nerves or like cut off sort of
circulation.
Yeah. When I tried the Hit trainers for the first time, they are awesome. Arch support still follows the shape of your foot, but wide enough for when I'm lifting that my toes can spread out. Great heel cup. Solid for lifting and for running, or also the material on the bottom of the shoe for if you're climbing ropes or doing things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's grippy.
The only thing that I have, I think, damaged my oldest pair is just from so much work, like the little bit of sort of like the shiny black, almost like
the overlay,
mesh overlay. Like some of that has worn off. But other than that, they have
been really durable,
just super durable. So thank you. Thank you for making some great shoes that don't hurt my feet.
She does really love them. She's not just saying.
I love that you love them. And I love them too. Because ultimately we made them for us, right? Like, I mean, I run and I used to suffer from blisters and hamstring problems. And since I created my own shoe company, I mean, my running's been great. I've been injury free. And I am a user myself. Like as much, Brooke, as I'm so happy that you love them, I created the company for me. It's purely selfish.
Hey, you know what? I'm so happy you did that. You should have created it for you. And then the rest of us, we just get to benefit from it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not a zero sum game here. Like we can all be benefit from this.
Oh yeah. I'm going to get Gina in some of the Ultras.
I'd love to try them.
The Escalante, man.
Let's get you a pair of the new Solstice.
Doesn't mean that I have to run though, right?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Dude, I've kept some of my
pairs. She roped me into a workout. Sorry. I mean,
no, go ahead.
She roped me into a workout. She goes, Gina, come over on Sunday. Daniel's going to come over and do this workout. And I said, okay. You know, I'm thinking we're doing like something small. And I get here and she goes, oh, we're doing the Big Floyd. It's
for George Floyd or anyway. So I'm looking at this workout and I go,
there is a lot of running.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. It's like 800 meter run, 25 something, then 25 burpees, then 800 meter run, then 25 something, 25 burpees, 800 meter run, 25 something. I mean, it was like five rounds of that and then ending in an 800 meter run. And I said, mm-mm, no.
I mean, to be honest.
And then they're like, it's it's for this cause. And I thought, okay,
I can do it.
I can do it, but I might cheat.
This is how I got her to do it. I said, Gina, you just keep working until I finish. Doesn't matter where you're at. You just keep working. And then as soon as I'm done, you can be done. She goes, okay. She goes, you better That's go. Fair. She's like, you better go fast.
I know, I kept telling her, you need to go faster. This is where you pour it on. I know. I was
honestly,
I was dying.
And because I haven't really been doing CrossFit like that. That was hard.
It was hard.
And if I'm going to run, I really do just in love. I really love a track day. Like I love a track workout and just putting in miles or trail. There was a period of time. I will tell you, there was a period of time. It was after I was coming back from surgery. And probably because I couldn't do anything for so long that I was like, I just want to run. I just want to like go for a run. And I started running a lot and running the trail. And I really was like convinced that I wanted to train for an ultra.
Really?
Ultra trail marathon.
Yeah.
And now I'm really into road cycling, but I promise I'll get back to running too. Well, I'll get back to running.
Same for me. I my college career ended. I had a terrible college career just with tibial stress fractures in both legs in back-to-back years. And so I took a year off of running, and I'm an outdoors guy. I fly fish, backpack, and I just love being outdoors in the mountains particularly. And so after a year off running, I started, we moved right next to the mountains. My wife and I, when we were first married, and I was started just after school, you know, after college, after my classes were over, I guess, while I was still in college, I would just go out for these runs right on the foot of the mountain and just kind of fell back in love with running. And I just trail run now. That's almost all I do. Road running, treadmill. Oh, I can't stand the treadmill, but yeah, I mean, I'll do a little bit here and there when I have to, but I love trail running. I just go out in the mountains and just get lost. And it's just so good for me.
Well, you know what it is? I watched this documentary. You might know what this is. I can't remember the name. I'm going to describe it to you. It's a documentary about a running this race that happens. I want to say it might be somewhere in maybe in Europe.
The Barkley Marathon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's like secret. Right?
Yeah.
It's not secret, but like
how do you know
you
about
never
it
know,
then?
Like when it's going to happen. And then there's the thing where you like have to get these books, right? Like rip a page out of a book or whatever.
Wait, what? Start from the beginning.
Okay.
This is confusing.
Dude, we have to. It's insane. This is probably, I think that is what really, because I already liked trail running and I was enjoying, like I loved when I would go for a run and I could feel myself getting better. Right? And I just felt accomplished, but that's how I feel on my bike now too.
Right.
And I watched this documentary and I was like, I think I want to do that.
So if it's a secret, how do you do it?
There's two documentaries of it.
Okay.
There's one on Netflix, like Barkley Marathon. Then there's the second one, which is called Where Dreams Go to Die.
Sounds promising.
It's unbelievable.
We'll watch it.
Okay.
We'll watch it.
You should.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
So what is the premise of it?
So basically, this guy decided to create a race that is almost impossible to finish.
Yes.
Oh, so okay.
It's been run for like 30 years, and there's like 13 people that have ever finished it in 30-year history of the race.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So why is it so difficult?
The terrain. It's in kind of the middle of nowhere, Tennessee.
That's where it is.
And it's just this overgrowth forest. There's no trails. You're bushwhacking and orienteering with like maps and compasses. And
it's crazy.
He takes it up the nastiest hills and he changes the course every year. So it's not like you can learn the course.
Right.
And so he changes it like the starting line. There's no time he starts. He's like, I'm going to start at some point tomorrow.
So you just have to be waiting by it?
He gives you an hour notice. at, he just started at 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. You don't know when he's going to start it.
Oh my gosh.
It's like super, super unknown.
I love it. So how do people get, if it's
five laps,
how do you enroll in it?
How it's do these really hard. You have to like,
it's like going to Burning Man. Like you have to go into a lottery or something.
Yeah. And the race director is, he's crazy. His name's Laz. And he basically, the entrance fee is whatever like clothes he feels like he needs. So they're like a pair of like socks or like, a shirt. Like that's the entrance fee.
I love that. I'm watching
it. Wild. It's the wildest thing you've ever seen.
And isn't it something where like there are sort of like checkpoints that you have to, is it pages out of a book?
Yeah. So he put at these checkpoints, he put a book and all the books are like, they're like the most like depressing named books you can like find. And your race number, and he does like odd numbers or even numbers, or whatever. So you have to tear out, like if you're number 8, you have to tear out page 8 to prove that you've been there.
Oh, yeah. Smart. Okay. So okay,
it's pretty. We should watch it. Funny. We should watch it tonight.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Dude,
watch
I
it.
Watched it, and it was just like it was just so, it crazy, and intense, and like everything about it was like so bizarre and crazy, and I was like,
I want to do that.
I want to do that.
Of course you do. Of course
don't
you do.
Think I would finish.
How many people run this thing?
He caps it at like 50 people.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And here's the thing, right? Is and this is kind of funny too. He finds the least qualified person of all the applicants, and he lets them in. And it's called like the designated lamb to the slaughter.
I was gonna say that's like teaching him a lesson.
Like, these people, like it's like they have no right being there, and he lets one of the most pathetic people in every year.
I'm totally gonna try. I for sure am gonna get in.
Watch it. It's funny.
Oh,
it's,
I will.
It's intense. I think people always want to push their limits, and this race I've never seen a harder race out there in the world. I mean, it's insane.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you and want to stay connected with you. So please rate, review, and subscribe to help this podcast grow.
And if you like the podcast, get the word out.
And now back to the show.
So if 13 people have won it, how long have they been doing it?
He said 30 years.
Did you say that already? Oh, 30 years.
30-something years.
Wow.
He said 13 people have finished it.
Finished it.
Finished.
You only have so much time. What is it? 24 hours?
No, it's 60 hours.
60 hours.
You have to stay out there?
Yeah. You run at night.
Are they running with like packs on and stuff?
Oh, yeah. It's 60
it's like
hours.
Okay.
It's 5 laps and you have like 12 hours to finish per lap. And
that's insane.
And then you have to go clockwise and then counterclockwise.
And then go back.
Directions.
No.
Yeah. And it gets dark.
Yeah.
And so you're like, you have your headlamp
60 hours.
I remember watching some people coming in like off one lap and they've got like, you know, their team sort of ready to like trying to like pay attention. Like, when are they going to get here? And you know, they may have got a little lost. They come in and their feet are fucked up.
Oh, I bet.
And you got to like do the blister thing and like foot care. And then they got to go back out there.
Yeah. When you finish a lap, you have to start the next lap within 30 minutes. Like you have to, there's no, like you can't like finish fast and then like wait 2 hours and then start the next lap. Like you have to move, you have to stop, you have to keep moving the whole 60 hours.
So this guy is sadistic.
Yeah, they'll come in and they'll come in and like take power naps. Like, right? Like 10, 15 minutes power naps and then get up, eat something and go.
Wait, so you don't get to sleep?
No.
Wow.
I mean, I've done 13 100 mile races and the one that took me the longest was 38 hours. And I can't imagine being out there for 50 or 60 hours. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy.
Oof.
I think
we're going to watch that.
I think of Forrest Gump.
Yeah. The place where people go to die?
Yeah. Where dreams go to die.
Same.
Where people go to die?
Same. Where dreams go to die.
That's a different one.
You cannot watch that without crying.
Because I think I definitely watched the other one, the Barkley Marathon.
You watched the Netflix documentary.
Yes. Where can we find Where Dreams Go to Die?
I can't remember. I'll Google it. I don't know. It's like Vimeo or whatever.
Hulu.
I don't know.
We'll find it. I'm going to find it.
We're going to find it, and we're going to watch it.
Yeah. I like just the title of it.
You will cry. You will literally like be. It is the saddest. It is. Oh, it's incredible.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing.
We're going to watch it.
Okay. I'll watch it.
Yeah, you should.
Do you think that...
If you have to pay for it, it's worth every penny.
Yes. So I can't... Oh, my gosh. I can't remember who exactly I was talking to about this, but... There was an idea in mind. So Red Bull has some sort of like crazy competition where it's like running up a hill or something like that.
Camille was telling us.
Yeah.
Camille was telling us.
And I can't remember who I was talking to, maybe a sponsor.
It's at the old Olympic in Utah. Remember we drove by it?
Oh, yeah.
It's the old Olympic, where do they do the Olympics?
Yeah, in Park City.
Yeah.
You run straight up the ski jump.
Okay. Yes. But I've got to figure out what this is called. Anyways, all over the world, there's different areas or places that are so crazy, right? It's like things that are so difficult and so hard, whether it's like a bunch of people trying to sprint to the top of this mountain and it's, you know, by the time you get to the top, you're barely crawling because it's so steep or whatever. I've heard of different, like Red Bull or people doing these sponsored events that are kind of like, I'm going to say this, but almost kind of like stupid human events. Like,
right. Like, let's watch people really suffer and maybe get hurt.
But basically, like being able to be innovative in events or ways to incorporate the sport, but making it different and exciting to create something new they can catch on, you know, or like be involved in something like that. Like this Barkley Marathon is crazy insane. Has Ultra maybe looked into either sponsoring or being a part of like an event like that has to do with running or has to do with things like that to, I guess, get like a little bit more involved on like have your own event type of a situation besides just being a sponsor at an event?
Yeah, we in the U.S. we haven't put on our own event yet, but we have internationally.
Oh, cool.
I did one. So speaking of crazy events, this one's super cool. So they hosted a vertical mile. So, it's all about it's all about gaining 5,000 feet of elevation in a vertical mile over however distance they choose. And so I did one of those, up in the mountains above Beijing, China.
Oh, wow.
Our distributor put on, it was a whole Ultra event. And it ended up being like 6.5 miles total, but you gain 5,000 feet in that. Like it's a vertical mile over 6 miles. And you'd race to the top of this mountain. And it was so cool. You went through like all these, I don't know, I don't even know what to call them, pagodas or whatever fancy. It was like one of the coolest races I've ever done in my life. And it's just, you know, people, I think people want to push their limits. And I think that that's what's really cool about it is that regardless of your sport, there's always the extreme. And I don't mind the extreme. Because I want to push my limits. I want to see how far I can run. I want to see how crazy of an event I can do. I love pushing the limits of the human body because it's so much more incredible than people give it credit for.
Agreed.
So I love these events. I think they're awesome.
Yeah. So
once you get to the top, how do you get back down? Do you have to walk back down?
A gondola.
Oh, okay.
They had like a road so you could either run the course back down or you could like cut off a couple miles, but it was like the shortcut was 4 miles down.
So it's not just that you're going up, then you got to get back down. So they don't like drive you back down.
It's not a race on the way down.
Right, right. You take your time. Yeah. Enjoy the pagodas or whatever.
Imagine, Gina,
whatever they were called.
Imagine like doing the stairs at Sea Cliff.
I couldn't even do those.
For 6 miles.
No. I had that mentality.
We go and like run these stairs and they're, I mean, it's straight up.
They're straight up.
And they kind of go like this to go up the side of the cliff. And every time there's like 3 more levels left, we all get there and we're like, shit, I thought I was closer to the top.
So we would go and it would be like Brooke, then Daniel, then Marcus, or, you know, everyone's going. And then they'd be, okay, Gina, you go in the back. Because I'm just taking forever.
I start out really good, and then I get like to the second one, and I'm like,
because I'm gonna sit out on this one. I'll do the next one.
Yeah, then
one.
I change it, and I go, okay, I'm just gonna do every other one, guys. Every other one. We got to walk back down. Okay. No one's gonna carry me. Oh man. So I wish I had that fire of just pushing the. I feel like I am pushing my limits. That's the crazy part.
You are.
My threshold is just my threshold is just way lower. Dude, way lower.
You're pushing your limits.
I'm trying.
I'm pushing your limits.
You're pushing. That's what it
I'm
is.
I'm pushing your buttons.
You're forcing me to. Forcing.
Well, yeah, I think those events are very cool. I think it'd be fun to like be able to go and spectate some of those crazy events that they have all over the place.
How would you spectate? You're just hiding in the bushes?
I don't know. I feel like in an event like that, obviously it's like 6 miles. They might have maybe different areas that are sort of like hangout spectate areas along the way. Maybe you just pick your poison. You're like, well, you know, I don't really want to watch the beginning because that's over quick. But if I go to the middle on this big screen, I can watch the beginning and then I can see them run through the middle.
See, I was thinking I would stay at the beginning because then I wouldn't have to go up that high.
That's true.
Okay, so if you want a fun video to watch, there's a race called Mount Marathon in Alaska.
Okay.
And it's the hardest 5K in the world. And you gain 3,000 feet in 1 mile. You're like crawling up this mountain.
And that's not running. Down it. That's not running.
Well, people run up it.
You really?
Go watch the videos. Yeah, Alter sponsors it, so I've done it a couple times. And people, you run it with gloves because you have to go down it too. People like spill.
Oh, you're just sliding.
But it's really cool race.
Okay, say what it is again. Mount Marathon. Mount Marathon. Okay,
but it's only like 3.3 miles or something like that. It's like a long 5K.
That is crazy,
and it's awesome. People biff it. People come in bloody, and it's great.
I love these. Like that's
because
awesome.
There's like it's like a figure eight, and so you can hike up the mountain and watch them go around. It's really cool.
That's a fun one to spectate on
if you want to see wild.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I was just talking with Rhett about. I would love to also actually go spectate parts of the Tour de France.
Oh yeah,
which would be so cool.
Except I feel like you're just sitting there and you're like,
you all said.
But you know, like you get to one spot, it's like,
it'd be cool
gone.
To like, I think just go to the different areas, get to see like some of the areas where they're riding. Mm-hmm. And then if you're where you're going to watch them start, do that, see, like watch them come through and get water, whatever they're doing and feel the energy, but then just, you know, post up at a really great bar and watch them on the screen, on the TV.
And that's true too.
So I feel like I'm bragging now.
Please do it.
I have done that.
You have?
Yeah. The Tour de France.
How was it?
Oh, so cool.
Really?
It was so cool. But here's the thing. If you want to get like the full experience, just go to the last, like you hit a couple of events, right? Yeah. Like a couple of the stages where they zoom past you. You see them for 4 seconds.
Right.
But the best is the end. They finish and then they do like a whole like 10 loops on the Champs-Élysées right there in downtown Paris. And so you see them go up the street and then down the street like 10 times each. And the streets are just packed with people.
That's
and they
so
go
cool.
past so fast. But you see them like, you don't even have to, you can sit there drinking a beer and you watch them go back like 40 times.
Yeah,
that would
and
be
it's right
awesome.
In downtown Paris. It's awesome.
I just watched the 30 for 30 of Lance Armstrong. Have you seen it?
I haven't yet.
It's good.
I need to. I hear it's good.
It's good. Yeah.
I haven't heard of it. What is it?
Lance Armstrong. It's 30 for 30. It's an ESPN show. So it's kind of like a documentary about him. I don't care what people say. He's incredible.
Well, yeah.
I
watched that and it's like, I like, you know, you hear people say things or whatever. And I just think to myself, like, how dumb do you actually have to be to try and believe that not every single person in the Tour de France is taking PEDs. You're asking these dudes to do the craziest stuff and then they're trying to win? Like, it shouldn't blow your mind. And if it does blow your mind, it shouldn't be enough for you to be like, you know, insult that person in the streets and you don't even know who they are in real life. Like, you see video of that, of him, even now, just like out on the street and everyone's like, hey, Lance, fuck you. And he's like, thank you.
It sucks. It's so well, lame.
And you know, people give him shit because, you know, oh, he's an asshole. It's like, do you know the mental, like, fortitude it would take, whether you're on PEDs or not, to win,
dude,
all of those Tour de France's? I mean, there's Michael Jordan. Like, there's, you know,
to come back from kind of an asshole, cancer treatment.
That good. Like, you have to have a screw or two loose.
Yeah. You know what? I never really knew a lot about him. Right? Like him when he was younger, or how he was when he first got started, or even how he started riding a bike. Like, this story, when you watch it, they have tons of footage from him, like, through, like, younger years and, mm-hmm. like, starting out cycling. This dude was really young and such an incredible athlete. He just started doing, I want to say maybe triathlons. And he's in the water. I think they actually had to forge his age. His mom had to, they had to forge his age for him to even be able to get in, like, this first race that he was doing.
Oh, wow.
And he was out in front of all these dudes that are like, who is this kid?
Yeah.
And apparently he was, like, out running, and he's just, like, talking to them. And he's just, like, this young, young kid. Like,
didn't they say he has, like, some crazy, like, lung capacity or some kind of, what is it?
The VO2 max is insane.
Thank you. Yes, that's it.
But then even to have that, but also have, like, the drive and determination,
sure.
to train the way you have to train to be good, or even for him to, just, like, the stars aligned, you know? You had all the things physically, but then you had all the things mentally for you to have the correct pieces to get somewhere with that talent. And then also watching some of the video of him talking about when he was, like, going through cancer treatment and him, you know, coming back from that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And him coming back from that and no teams wanting him. Like, couldn't even, he came back and was riding on, like, his old team, and then it was I think in the middle of the race, and he talks about it, like, I don't even think he finished it. He just left, and it was like he was going to be done. Mm. It was just a hard race, like, to be there and feel like he's super fit and then get there. Yeah, it was really cool. And what was really cool too is he's just open book. You know, there wasn't, like, questions. Like, they talk about, like, all everything, and he just gives, like, just the most honest, open answers. And it's just, you know, when you've been hung out to dry for the entire world to see, mm-hmm. you can be very vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like, nothing's going to hold you back from just saying it how it is, which it was really cool. And yes. And yeah, I was like, I'm going to go to the Tour de France. Yeah. I got to go watch the Tour de France.
You do. It's incredible. So I'm going to watch that. You guys have to watch the Barclay, Where Dreams Go to Die.
I'm watching it. I was sold. I was sold after, you know, just from the title.
She does have a little bit dark.
I have a morbid.
morbid, dark
It sounds
humor.
Very morbid, dark, and sold on that. So,
well, Brian, thank you so much for, one, taking the time to figure out the situation with Skype. And don't worry about that for us at all, because I am very...
We're also technically challenged.
We're very technically challenged.
Yourself more than her.
It looks like you're quite comfortable on your couch and pillows and all that.
Well,
too.
So it's funny because, like, somebody was commenting about the fact I always put a pillow here. And it's because we get tired holding these microphones.
It's because we have mics. When we first...
We got to get mic stands.
Yeah. Or get us new headphones that have the...
Oh, yeah. We got to get the headset, like Britney Spears. Break into dance. Yeah. Yeah, no, we are very comfy over here.
When we first started the podcast,
well,
we were doing it.
My pleasure.
Oh, thank you so
much. Thank you.
So thank you.
Yeah. That was a great story. I love that story.
I love it.
I love how it started. I love it. I really get inspired by those stories. And I think, man, in my next life,
in this life, Gina,
I'm also going to go after my dreams.
I had no idea, which is why I had asked Devin. I was like, can you check and see if they would be interested in being on the podcast? Because I would love to learn about shoes and how they came to be, because I love their shoes, but I don't really know about how it got started. And I know it was a small company, and it's from Utah, and that's it. So very cool, inspiring story. I'm really happy you guys stuck with it, and we're gonna watch that show, and you're gonna watch 30 for 30.
Then you guys are gonna discuss it later.
And we're gonna discuss it later. Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much, ladies. My pleasure. Right.
Bye.
Oh, wait, really quick.
Oh, wait.
Just tell our viewers where they can find you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, first of all, if you don't follow Alter Running on all social media platforms, you're crazy. We have an awesome social media setup. But I'm kind of boring on social media, but you're welcome. Brian_Ultra on Instagram. And do not do Twitter. And then, of course, my name on Facebook. But, yeah. But cool. Our Ultra stuff, we have a great team. Yeah. We post good stuff.
Everybody check out Ultra Running. They have all kinds of cool shoes, really comfortable, functional, and they last. And I know this from experience. So,
and they're good looking.
And they're good looking. Check them out. Brian, thanks for coming and hanging out with us. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks. See ya. Ciao.
Bye.
All right, guys.
That was cool.
That was cool.
I loved that story. I can't say it enough.
Right?
Yeah.
Just doing modifications.
Yeah.
At like 20 years old.
I know.
And just, hey, Brian, I just put my shoe in the toaster oven and then I just sawed the heel off and they work so much better. So awesome.
It is.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, five-star rating, five-star warning. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya. Bye.